You know, I don't know if you've ever been in the position of letting Jesus down, or maybe even denying Him. If you've ever been in that position, know this, that the Lord is very concerned about you, and He loves you, and He is in the business of restoration. And He raised up one of the mightiest of the apostles here in this man, Peter. God can take that which is shipwrecked, crashed, broken, apart, and put it back together and make something beautiful out of it. And that's what He did with Peter.
You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Oh Lord, I love
God's mind is revealed in the Scripture, but we would not be able to comprehend really anything without the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul urges us not to grieve the Spirit's work within our lives, as Pastor Henry Ganey will be having us consider on today's study time from Faith to Faith. As we continue our studies in the book of Acts in chapter 2, today we'll be looking at the promise fulfilled at Pentecost, a promise that would change the way we worship God and commune with Him. But today's lesson, from faith to faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Last week in Acts chapter 1, we looked at the promise of the Father, which Jesus spoke about in Acts chapter 1, and he told His disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait for that promise of the Father, which you've heard of Me. And He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, John the Baptist truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so then the disciples asked Him some questions about what He meant about that. And then in verse 8 in chapter 1, He went on to say, you shall receive power. That word there, as we talked about last week, is dunamis, like dynamite, miracle-working power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. So God, here's what God is doing in our lives. God first draws us to Him, and we talked about this last week, how before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is with us. Para is that word in the Greek. He is with us. Once we get saved, He comes inside of us, and we're born again. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and we're born again, and we belong to Him. But He offers us this third experience, and this power here that he's telling us He wants us to receive. He doesn't just offer it. He told His disciples to go back and wait until you get it. And so they went back and they waited until they received that power. And that word is dunamis in the Greek, and that's where we get our word dynamite, that dynamic power that He wants to give us in order to enable us to be His witnesses. And that's what He said, you shall be witnesses unto Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And it says, you shall be witnesses. Your life will be a witness. It's not just doing witnessing. It's not just what we speak. It's what we are. It's who we are in Jesus Christ. When people look at your life, what do they see? Do they see Jesus or do they see something else? Do they see the flesh? Do they see a work of God or do they see a work of the flesh? You shall be witnesses unto Me. Now, as we analyze those few verses there, and then we'll get into Acts chapter 2, one thing that I've found useful when I'm trying to analyze nearly anything, especially scripture or if a piece of a book, a piece of literature, or even a scientific experiment or medicine or whatever, you're trying to analyze some things that are useful. You ask several questions, and most of these are W questions. It's who, what, where, why, when, and then a couple of H questions, how and how much, you know? And those kinds of questions will tell you a lot about a subject. So whenever you're studying something, you ask those questions, and then you find out a lot about it as you answer those questions. Well, I asked myself those questions about Acts chapter 1 here, and who was to receive power? It is you. He said, you shall receive power. You're the ones, okay? In those days, it was the disciples. Today, it's us. You're the one. And then it's, what will you receive? You shall receive power. When? For them, it was not many days from then. For us, it's at any moment that God wants to give it to us and that we're really willing to receive it. We can receive that baptism, that power of the Holy Spirit. And why? He said, you shall be witnesses of me. To be witnesses. That's why we receive that power. And then where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth for them. For us, it's Thomasville and the surrounding areas. Some of you from Valdosta, Albany, perhaps, and other places, Pavo. The surrounding areas, and then under the uttermost parts of the earth. Some of us, God may call to go to uttermost parts of the earth to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then how? How do you do this? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and empowers you. And then finally, how much? And I enjoyed this question of all. When I asked myself, how much? Well, I realized the scriptures say the Holy Spirit is given to us without measure. And what does that mean? God doesn't just give you a little dribble here and now. He just pours it out upon you without measure. He will give you as much as you can take. The limiting factor is me. I say, whoa, God, I can't take anymore. You know, this is overwhelming, Lord. And so he will give it. He doesn't give it to you by measure. It's unlimited. Whatever we can take, we can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts chapter 2, he delivers on this promise when he said, you shall receive power not many days from now. A few days later in Acts chapter 2 is a deliverance of that promise. And let's read this together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When I say read together, I mean you read and I'll say the words, okay? A couple of weeks ago, we all tried to read together and we all had different versions. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today we'll cover these first 21 verses, the Lord willing. Next week we'll finish the book of Acts chapter 2. We'll finish that chapter. But going through this chapter now, let's go back to verse 1. He says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There were three major feast times for the Jewish people. The first feast time occurred in our month of April. It was the first month of the year for them, in the month of Abib, and that was the feast of Passover. Passover was followed quickly by the feast of unleavened bread, and also the feast of first fruits was right after Passover. And those three feast times were right there together. 50 days later was the Feast of Pentecost in June, and then in October they have the Feast of Tabernacles. And that starts with, and there are three feast times there that occur together too. And that's the Feast of the Blowing of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles a few days following that. So we've got actually seven feasts, but they cluster three of them on one end and three of them on the other end, and then one feast in between, the Feast of the Day of Pentecost. The Jews call it the Feast of Weeks because it's 7 weeks plus one day after the Feast of Passover. As you know, Christ was crucified at Passover time. And he was raised from the dead at the time of first fruits, by the way. On Sunday, that was the day of first fruits. And then the following that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was speaking of the sinlessness of Christ. And so that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, as we studied last week in Acts chapter 1. And so he was with them there, teaching them, ministering to them for 40 days after he was risen from the dead. And then a few days later, we have the day of Pentecost. He was ascended into heaven at the time of this day of Pentecost. And the word Pentecost means 50 days, 50 days after Passover. So when the day of Pentecost now was fully come, for the Jew, a day would start the night before. It says in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. And so sundown on Friday begins their Sabbath. And we normally think of the Saturday as being Sabbath, but it begins at sundown on Friday and goes to sundown on Saturday. And so that's the Sabbath for the Jew, and it starts the evening before. And so here it says the day of Pentecost was fully come, and so they've gone through the night, and now it's morning, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and the day has fully come. It's light outside, and then God just pours out His Spirit during those daylight hours. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This was not a divided church. This was a group of believers that were sold out to Jesus Christ. They were sold out to the Word of God. They knew the Word, and they were worshiping the Lord, and there was no division. They were all with one accord in one place. Praise God that we can be in one accord in one place, worshiping the Lord, believing in Him, trusting in Him, that He is our Savior, He is our God. They were all with one accord in one place gathered together, and there were about 120 of them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. So just imagine if we were here gathered together and there was like a tornado or a hurricane. That wind blows through, and only it's a lot more than that. And there's a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and then it fills all the house where they're sitting. So they're sitting there just waiting on the Lord, and this rushing mighty wind comes through there and it fills the place. And it says, then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire. And these cloven tongues, these split tongues of fire, sat upon each of them. And so they were looking around the room at one another, and these tongues of fire on them. And then they begin to speak with tongues, physically. Tongues of fire, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I use the word spirit instead of ghost. I know the King James used ghost. Some people find ghost a little spooky. So that's just a translation of the word pneuma. And by the way, the word pneuma can be translated spirit. King James does it ghost. It can be translated wind or air or breath. And so that word, and so the rushing mighty wind, that wind speaks of the Spirit. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He moves in our midst, and we don't know who He's going to save yet next. And I'm praying for one person, and another person will overhear the prayer, and they're the ones that will get saved. And I go, wow, Lord, I didn't know You were working on this person. I thought You were working on this person. And He just does what He wants to do, and we just can enjoy it as He does those kinds of things. Well, here's the Holy Spirit now moving like a wind, filling these people. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak with other tongues. The word speak is lalia, and tongues is glossa, so we call this glossolalia. They begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them this ability. And so this is not something that we're making up. It's not something weird or strange, but the Spirit empowered them and gave them brand new languages that they'd never spoken before. And the Spirit gave them the ability to speak in those brand new languages. Now, the Bible speaks of tongues of men and of angels. Some of those tongues can be tongues of angels, and I don't know what language the angels speak. I guess they speak maybe the language of God. I don't know. But tongues of men and of angels. So you might be speaking a tongue of an angel, or you might be speaking a tongue of a man when a person receives this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Scriptures don't always tell us what we would be speaking. But it does say they begin to speak with other tongues. I have a friend, when he prays, I've heard him pray in tongues, he prays in Greek. And I know a few words in Greek, and when he starts to pray, I hear him say, Kurios. And I know that's the word for Lord. He doesn't know what he's saying, but he can pray in that prayer language, and the Lord empowers him to do that, and it's a known language. I know I have another friend that prays in French, and so they are known languages, and so that's what happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them this ability. Now, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, these Jews, it says out of every nation under heaven, the Jews originally lived in Israel. And Israel split into Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And then they went into captivity in 721 B.C., the northern nation of Israel. And then the southern kingdom went into captivity in 606 B.C. because of their sins against God. Because of this, Jews were scattered all over the world. And so these are Jews. These are not non-Jews, but these are Jews that were scattered all over the known world at that time. The Mediterranean area in the Middle East is what we would think of today. And they had come back to Jerusalem for the feast times because they were obeying Scripture. The Bible told them to, if they could possibly do that, to come back at the major feast times. And so they would come back at Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. And so they tried to get back at least once a year. So Jerusalem would swell. And there would be hundreds of thousands of people there. Some estimate over 1 million people in the city at these feast times. And so we don't know how many people were there, but it says there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded. It says they were amazed because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. Let's say you were from Russia and you came and sat down in a service. Or maybe not in a service, but you were with someone that has a prayer language, and that person was praying, and they would and frequently I don't pray in my prayer language very often. You've never heard me pray in my prayer language in one of our services like this. I do have a prayer language, but it's not generally for public use. It's mostly for my private prayer life. But if I prayed for somebody in my private prayer life, and let's say they were from another country and spoke another language, and I said, you know, I don't know what to pray for you. But I'm just going to pray in faith, and I'll just trust the Lord, and I start to pray in my prayer language. If it was his language, that would blow him away, wouldn't it? I mean, you go, wow, this is real. Well, that has happened. That has absolutely happened. Some missionaries went down to Mexico several years ago, and they prayed and they'd gone to some of the remote areas where it's mostly Indian-type people, tribes that some of them didn't even speak Spanish very much. And when they were praying for them, these people started speaking in English. In their prayer language. So their known languages, as I was saying. And here now, these Jews there, it says, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They were confounded because every man heard them speaking in his own language. And so they would hear somebody over here speaking the language of their native country that they had come from. And so they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now these guys are from Galilee. Where did they learn these foreign languages? Galileans were fishermen. Galileans were carpenters, laborers. They didn't go to the university in Jerusalem. And so they didn't know these languages. And yet, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, our own dialect wherein we were born. And then it names 17 different groups of people here, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and in Asia. Now, the first three, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, that's the area of Persia. So that would be the furthermost extent. And then he says Mesopotamia, that would be modern-day Iraq. Persia is Iran today, by the way. Iran, Iraq, and then Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, or that's part of modern-day Turkey. And when I was in Turkey in the year 2000, I met a girl, a lady that was a tour guide, that said she was from that area of Pamphylia, which is the land of the old tribes. And so these areas are still there today. And so she was from that area. And then parts of Libya. Libya is there today, and Egypt, and Cyrene, and then strangers of Rome. You know about Rome. That's still there today. And then Jews and proselytes, Crete, the island of Crete, and finally Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So at least 17 different languages here. These 120 came out of that room speaking those languages. And the people in Jerusalem overheard this, all this commotion, all this noise, this wind like a tornado. And that drew them to the scene. What's going on here? And then they're speaking in these languages. And we're hearing them speaking in these languages. And they're praising God, speaking of the wonderful works of God that he has done. And so that it was just, they were blown away. Nothing had ever been seen like this before. And so they were all amazed. But they were also in doubt. It says they were troubled. They were perplexed. What is this? Saying one to another, what does this mean? Now, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They're just drunk. You know, whenever God does something in your life, you're going to have this reaction. You're going to have this reaction on the part of different people. There will be one group of people that will just say, that is glorious. That is wonderful what Jesus has done for you. And others are going to say, you don't believe that stuff, do you? I mean, come on. And that's what's going on here. Satan is always there ready to resist the work of God. Always ready to plant doubt. Always ready to rob you from what God would give unto you. And so here's the doubt now. Oh, these guys, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now, Peter, is going to preach, and we'll study this more next week as we finish up the book of Acts. If we finish up Acts chapter 2, he's going to preach one of the mightiest sermons in all of Scripture as we study this chapter. And as he preaches this sermon, it will tell us toward the end of this chapter that 3,000 people would get saved that day. I would say that's quite a sermon, wouldn't you? That's quite a message when 3,000 people get saved and come to Jesus Christ all at one time. And that was without a big stadium. That was without microphones, without speakers, without all of the things that we have today. Billy Graham reaches hundreds of thousands of people, but they have mass media communication. And Peter just was standing there on the Temple Mount proclaiming Christ and giving this message, and 3,000 people got saved. Awesome. Now, think about it for a moment. Peter, a few days before. Where had Peter been a few days before? He had denied his Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended because of me. Peter said, wait a minute. Lord, I think you're a little mistaken. All of these weaklings will be offended because of you, but not me. Not me. I'm strong. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, no way. Well, those words of Jesus were literally fulfilled. When they were interrogating Jesus, abusing him, the people came and they saw Peter and they said, aren't you one of them? One of the young girls came, aren't you one of them? He said, no, I'm not one of them. And then they came back a second time. She came back a third time. She said, your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean. You're one of his disciples. He said, I am not one of his disciples. He began to curse and swear. And the Bible tells us that Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. He didn't say anything. He just turned and looked at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Went out and wept bitterly. And then Jesus was taken to that cross and crucified. I know for Peter, those had to be the darkest hours of his life. He had denied Jesus, and now Jesus was dead. And there's no going back. You can't go back and say, I'm sorry, to somebody that's dead. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And then he told the women that came to the tomb, he said, go back and tell the other disciples and tell Peter, I'm going before you into Galilee. Tell Peter. You know, he was concerned about Peter. He was so concerned. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in the position of letting Jesus down or maybe even denying him. If you've ever been in that position, know this, that the Lord is very concerned about you and he loves you and he is in the business of restoration. And he says that he will leave the 99 and go get that one sheep that's gone astray. And that's what he did with Peter. He went and got that sheep and he raised up one of the mightiest of the apostles here in this man, Peter. God can take that which is shipwrecked, crashed, broken apart, and put it back together and make something beautiful out of it. And that's what he did with Peter. And so Peter now, what's the difference? What's the difference in the old Peter and the new Peter? He's baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been restored by Jesus. But now he has something else that he didn't have before. He has that dunamis. He has that power. And with that power comes a boldness. With that power comes a boldness to speak.
Peter was a man who started out with Jesus very headstrong, but in time God would break the fallow ground of Peter's heart and turn it into good soil that would produce much fruit in Peter's life and ministry. And with the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came upon Peter's life, it gave him the boldness to proclaim his Jesus to his world. Pastor Henry has offered us some great insights in Acts chapter 2 and will offer us further commentary in our next study time. I hope you can join us then.
Now, if you're interested in receiving a copy of the program that you've heard today, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, the number to reach us is 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is From Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Thomasville, in Georgia.
soul with all my heart.